God's Word comes to us from Psalm 30. Psalm 30. We'll read the 12 verses of this psalm. Psalm 30, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Tonight we come to the third of the three main types of psalms that we find in the Psalter in the Scriptures. We have talked about psalms of orientation and psalms of disorientation, and now tonight a psalm of reorientation. Or we talk about the hymns, the laments, and tonight the song of thanksgiving. The song of thanksgiving is in some ways the answer or the continuation to the lament. In the lament, we cried out to God for His rescue. We cried out to God to save us. The laments gave a voice to us in our anguish. The songs of thanksgiving are also God giving us a voice when He has done exactly what we have asked Him to do. Psalm 30, in many ways, answers the concerns that we expressed last week in Psalm 13. Perhaps you want to just put your finger in your Bible or a notebook, note in your Bible, to keep Psalm 13 open as well. We'll be referring to both of these tonight. Because the song of thanksgiving answers the lament, answers the difficulties that we found there. And now, how do we praise God when He has seen fit to hear our cries, to turn His face toward us once again? How do we thank Him for what He has done? I refer to this as a song of thanksgiving. Although that word thanksgiving is a little too weak to describe what the psalm is really about. We can say thank you, thanks for that, really casually. Thanksgiving is not a bad interpretation, but the word todah means more than just saying thanks. More than just a thanks for what you did. The todah is a confession and a commitment. The todah, the thanksgiving, is a confession of who God is, what He has done, and our commitment to live in a thankful way before Him. Todah is never used in Scripture between two people. There's a different word for thanks between two people. Todah is used for thanksgiving between mankind and God. It is a rich word. It is a deep word. Much more than just saying thanks, children. It is a confession of what God has done. It is a commitment to live in a certain way, in a way of todah, a way of thanksgiving before God. We have seen that The various types of psalms follow a particular structure. We've sung and read some songs of Thanksgiving tonight. Maybe tonight you already recognize some of the structure there. The structure is followed by our own outline this evening on the bulletin. The structure begins with picking up where the lament left off. In the lament, we have the vow to praise God. In the Todah, we have the fulfilling of that vow. In Psalm 13, the psalmist ended by saying, I will sing to the Lord when He has dealt bountifully with me. And Psalm 30 begins, I will now extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and not let my enemies rejoice over me. So it begins with fulfilling that vow to praise. We have said, God, if you hear us, we will praise you. So we begin the Todah with fulfilling of the vow to praise. Then there is an honest recalling of the distress. It's easy for us, after having gone through a difficult time and after time lapses after that, to somewhat minimize how bad things actually were, where we were in our spirit, but to honestly recall where we were and then to joyfully report what God had done, the deliverance that He has provided. That's the basic structure of the Todah and the structure we'll see in Psalm 30 tonight. The psalm picks up where the lament ends. I will extol you, O Lord. For you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. You have brought me up from Sheol. The idea is of being in a deep, dark pit, down in a well, lost, unable to get out, and God reaches down and in His love and mercy draws us up once again. And we praise Him for that. There was no way for us to get out. There was no way for us to find escape, which is why at the beginning of the Todah we see the Lord's name again and again and again. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from Sheol. You restored me to life, and I did not go down to the pit. The focus of our praise, of our thanksgiving, of our Todah is, God, how great you are. God, what you have done. God, I cried to you while I was in the pit, and you saw fit to bring me out of the pit. O Lord, our praise belongs to you. The song of thanksgiving, the Todah, is certainly for difficulties that we face in our lives today, for challenges around us, in our families, in our work perhaps. But it is also a reminder of the fullest bringing up that God has done for us. We were dead in transgressions and sins. We had gone down to the pit, lying there unable to save ourselves. And God alone, in His love and mercy, reached down and pulled us up. The psalmist says, you restored me to life. I was dead, couldn't do anything. But you, O God, acted. You, O God, restored me to life. You have enlightened my eyes. That was the psalmist's prayer back in Psalm 13. Light my eyes, O Lord, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He says, I was beyond that. I was dead. And you, O God, gave me life. You drew me up. You brought me back to the land of the living. To you, O God, I will give praise. To you I will bring my thanksgiving. To you I will bring exaltation. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. We fulfill our vow to praise. It is so easy for us to be in difficulties and to cry out to God, God, save me. And then when He does, we either give a casual thanks for what you did, or we forget to thank God at all. The Todah reminds us that it is God who must be the focus of our praise, of our confession, of our commitment to live in a particular way because of what He has done. The psalmist says in verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. The psalmist calls others to help him in fulfilling his vow to praise. He calls others to join with him in rejoicing in what God has done. And that serves as a wonderful reminder to the saints around us that God is faithful to act. Maybe there were those the psalmist would call to join in and give praise, and they would say, you know, I really don't want to praise God because I'm still in Psalm 13. I'm still in the lament. But when those who have gone through acknowledge what God has done, it is encouragement to those who are still living in the time of lament. He has brought someone else through. And we know that God will be faithful to all His people. I was talking to some college students this past week, and we were talking about the cost of college and student loans and how you can get into what seems like a deep, deep hole with regard to your student loans. And I could tell them, I could say, look, there is an end. Because I was there, okay? I was in the hole, and there is an end. There is a time when those payments are done and you get through. That's what the psalmist does in the Todah. He calls others who may still be in the lament, still in the pit, and reminds them, you can join me in giving praise to God as an affirmation to you that God will hear. In His time, He will hear. The psalmist gives us some parallels to help us see properly our difficulties in God's blessings as He fulfills this vow to praise. Verse 5, for His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In this verse, he gives us some nice parallel structures talking about God's anger and His favor, talking about what lasts for a moment and what lasts for a lifetime. When we're going through the difficulties, when we're going through the night, when we feel like God's anger is against us, it feels like forever. But the psalmist reminds us, that time, that difficult time, is only a moment. And when God does bring us through, that favor is for a lifetime. He puts things in proper perspective. It's so easy for us to get our vision out of whack. We see such a limited piece of time. Lord, right now I'm going through difficulties, and it seems like forever. And we can forget the years of God's faithfulness. And when He brings us through, we see once again, His favor is for a lifetime. He doesn't minimize the depth of the lament. But he says, put it in proper perspective. Weeping may tarry for a night. There is a time of weeping. It doesn't say it's not going to be there. But joy comes in the morning. In the morning, God comes to bring His blessing. As the psalmist fulfills his vow to praise, he calls others to join with him. That whether they have gone through the difficulties or are still in the difficulties, He can help them to see that God is faithful to what He has said. The psalmist goes on, and he's going to honestly recall the distress he was in. He says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By Your favor, O Lord, You made my mountain stand strong. He remembers when things were good. And the trouble is, when things are going well, we have the tendency to forget the God who made them go well. I said, I will never be moved. Notice the change of the pronouns here. Earlier it was, God, what are You doing? But when I was doing well, I said, look how great I got it. Look how good I'm doing. Look how I'm in control. Oh Lord, I forgot it was Your blessing. By Your blessing You made my mountain stand strong. Then You hid Your face, and I was dismayed. We think we're in control. We think we have everything, you know, all lined up. But all God has to do is hide His face for a moment, and everything falls apart. We live daily before the face of God. The psalmist doesn't even talk about God actively coming to disturb him. Simply turning his face away is sufficient to bring the psalmist into dismay. How weak we are. How frail we are. We think our mountain is standing strong. We have the favor going on. Everything's great. All God has to do is but withhold his favor for a moment, and we are dismayed. Recalling the severity of the distress. Not minimizing how bad things were. Like I said before, when you go through a difficult time, we don't like to think back on those times. But when we do sometimes, we say, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. You know, maybe if I had just tried a little bit harder, if I had come up with a better idea, I could have got myself out of it. No, in the Todah, we honestly recall the lament. That we were unable to do anything. We were unable to fix the problem. I thought I had it under control, but God, all you had to do was turn your face. And I was dismayed. The complaint is what back in Psalm 13 was, Lord, don't turn your face away from me. Consider me, answer me. That's what I want you to do. Light up my eyes or I'll sleep death. If you turn your face away, I'll have nothing. The psalmist says, I have to remember. Now that I'm brought back to reorientation, I have to remember to praise God. To remember now that He is in control. He is the one who's taking care of me. He recounts honestly the distress he was in. He says in verse 8, to you, O Lord, I cry and I plead for your mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? We talked last time about the psalmist's motivation for God to act. That God, you won't receive praise if I die. And so God, allow me to continue to praise you. What profit is there if I go to the dead? Because the dead don't praise you. They won't tell of your faithfulness. Lord, rescue me, save me, that I might praise you. That was the lament. And now God brings us through. And the psalmist says, don't forget what you said. Don't forget you cried to God saying, save me so I can praise you. Now you've been saved. It's time for praise. Don't forget that commitment. That todah, to walk in the ways of the Lord. He has seen fit to hear our cries. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. The psalmist's complaint was, Lord, you've turned your face away from me. You're not listening anymore. How long, O Lord? How long? Well, how long before you'll hear me again? And when God hears, it's so easy for us to forget. To forget the distress, to forget the depths, and to say, well, I guess it wasn't really that bad. No, to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God, there was nothing we could do. We had to cry to the Lord. We had to plead for His mercy. And again, while the laments and the todahs certainly address the difficulties we go through in life, they address our more serious spiritual condition, our weakness and our frailty against sin, that we were going down to the pit. We could not save ourselves. We could try as hard as we wanted, and we'll never match the holiness that God calls forth from us. No, for that, God has to act. God has to intervene. God has to hear our pleas for mercy. And God does exactly that. He provides the forgiveness that we stand in need of. He washes us and cleanses us and makes us new creatures in Him. The Todah reminds us that we couldn't save ourselves. The works of our hands are never sufficient. But that for all who cry out to God, for all who plead for His mercy, He is a God who will hear. He is a God who will answer. Tonight you may be going through very easy times, physically speaking. But spiritually, if you don't know the God that we're talking about, If you don't know this one as your Savior, tonight is the night to call out. Because the things that we have will never save us. The things we can do will never save us. We have to be honest about our condition. Even if God prospers us, if we are not in a relationship with Him, a todah, thankful, committed relationship, responding to what He has done, we have no hope. We will go down to the pit, down to the grave eternally. No, to You, O Lord, I cry. To You, O Lord, I plead for mercy. O Lord, be my helper. And as we turn to God, He does hear our cries. As we recall the distress, He does bring us out. And we report what God has done for us. God's actions. Verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And again, the pictures the psalmist gives to us. He doesn't say that God rescues him a little bit. He doesn't say, you have turned my mourning into a little bit less mourning. He says, you have turned my mourning into dancing. A complete reversal of that desperate condition. When God saves, He doesn't save only a tiny bit. He saves to the utmost. He brings us out and brings us into a new place, a new land. He gives us a firm place to stand. You have loosened my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Sackcloth, children, was what they would wear if they were going to a funeral. And the psalmist says, you have removed my funeral clothes and you've given me wedding clothes. A place to rejoice. You have brought me out of the pit and abundantly saved me. Abundantly provided for me. The Todah calls us to recognize that God doesn't do just the littlest possible to bring us out. But He rescues us fully. God doesn't make us only a little bit saved. But He saves us from beginning to end. And that completeness of the deliverance is what then motivates the completeness of our response, of our todah, of our commitment. God hasn't done just a little for us, but He's rescued us from death and brought us out. Our commitment must be, with all of our life, to bring glory and praise to Him. Verse 12, that my glory, myself, may sing Your praise and not be silent. Not be silent about what God has done. We can't be silent if we have honestly dealt with the depths of our sin and the glories of God's righteousness. Imagine if you were in a serious car wreck and the car crashed and you were pinned behind the steering wheel and you couldn't get out. And then you saw flames and a fire coming toward you, and suddenly a paramedic came up and grabbed you and rescued you out of that burning car, and the car exploded as you walked away. You would tell everybody that story. I was going to die. I was trapped. I couldn't get out. The paramedic came and pulled me away. We have been rescued from an eternal hell. And yet we seem so hesitant to open our mouths and tell that truth. We have been saved from an eternity away from God. Not simply the flames of this earth, but the flames of hell itself. I will not be silent. The psalmist says, I will speak, I will talk, I will sing, I will praise for what You have done, O God. Are we opening our mouths, joyfully reporting the deliverance we have seen? Whether that be in temporal difficulties in this life or for our eternal life, we have a God who has rescued us. We must have a wholehearted Todah response to him. O Lord, my God, I will give Todah to you forever. I will continually be committed in every part of my life to praising you and thanking you. Committed to following after you. Not because of what I have done, but because of what you have done. Because you have rescued me. Because you have delivered me. Because you have given me your spirit that I can respond to you in a wholehearted, full-orbed response. That's the call in the song of thanksgiving. Not only to fulfill our vow to praise in our words, but to fulfill that vow in our works. God has acted for us to redeem us, lifting us out of the pit. And He calls us to bring praise and to bring thanks with the way that we live, with all of our lives, to remember what He has done. The Todah addresses us in temporal issues. If you're going through difficult times tonight and someone can come up to you and say, look, God has brought me through, you can be encouraged. If you're still in Psalm 13, you can be encouraged by Psalm 30. It's a reminder that God will act. If you are in the depths of your sin, and tonight God has opened your eyes that you are unable to do anything, then don't stay in Psalm 13. But move on to Psalm 30. Because God has reached down in Jesus Christ to lift you out of the pit. And He has put your feet on a rock and given you a firm place to stand. And now calls you, in response to what He has done, to give Him thanks and praise forever. May God strengthen us to live lives of Todah, confession and commitment unto Him. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, when we think of what You have done for us, how can we begin to thank You? How can we praise You for Your goodness? We cry to You in our distress, and You, O God, incline Your ear to hear our cries. As the psalmist says, You lift us out of the mud and the mire, and You give us a firm place to stand. Tonight, O God, we have reflected upon Your call to thanksgiving, to commitment, to living in a particular way. Forgive us when we don't live those thankful lives. Forgive us when we forget what You have done for us and go on living as if we are in control and we can do all things. But no, God, help us to remember that Your gifts to us are abundant. You turn our mourning into dancing. You've taken off our sackcloth and clothed us with gladness. May we sing Your praise. May we not be silent. May we give You thanks forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.